New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Greetings, Bible believers everywhere, and welcome to this non-denominational, straight-shooting Bible broadcast. We're trying to preach Bible Christianity, encouraging people to take the Bible only and to be Christians only. And at the present time on this outreach, New Testament Christianity, we're dealing with the subject of what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. It's tremendously exciting to listen to the preaching of John the Baptist, a man that had a leather belt around him and wore a camel skin coat. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached those camp meetings down on the Jordan River, telling the people that came out into the countryside to hear him by the Jordan River, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word "at hand" means near. And John the Baptist was saying the kingdom of heaven is near. And of course, the kingdom of heaven was very, very near. The Lord Jesus Christ prepared for the kingdom. The Bible says, as Jesus was speaking, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Bible scholars, Jesus is the king over the kingdom. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords, and he is king over the kingdom of God upon this earth, the church. The Bible says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," Jesus was speaking, and that wonderful church kingdom was founded, as it's recorded in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, as Peter explained the tremendous commotion around Jerusalem, the tongues of fire and the wind of a mighty rushing sound, he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And the end of that prophecy is, "And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord went forth from Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. It's not to be fulfilled in some future date when the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. That was fulfilled 700 years before Christ. We have the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah. Isaiah chapter 2, the prophecy from Isaiah is that the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem, and the mountain of the Lord's house would be established above the hills. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came in fulfillment to what the Bible had prophesied, and the gospel was preached. People were told how to be saved, and souls were added to the church, added to the kingdom, became a part of the kingdom of God. As we look further into the subject of the kingdom, it's interesting to look over into the other part of the New Testament. In the book of Colossians, Paul, speaking to the New Testament church there, said that they had been translated into the kingdom. And also, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said that they had been translated into the kingdom. And so, they were translated into the kingdom when they obeyed the gospel. They became a part of the kingdom when they were saved, when their sins were washed away. And so, therefore, it's interesting to see what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. I'm thankful that God has given us such an inspired revelation. The Bible is inspired. All Scripture, the Bible says, has been given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work. And so, where do we go to find out about the kingdom? Not to religious superiors, not to Protestantism, not to Romanism, not to the isms and religious offshoots of our time. Where are we going to find out about the kingdom? Not to the synods, not to the councils, not to the church headquarters. Where are we going to find out about the kingdom? In the Word of God. Where are we going to find out about salvation? Not from synods and church headquarters and bishops and prelates and popes and presidents, but simply go to the Scriptures and speak where the Scripture speaks, and be silent where the Scripture is silent. It's wonderful to look through the references to the kingdom in the book of Acts. There's about 8 references, beginning with Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible here is giving the prologue to this tremendous book of Acts, and Luke says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." As we get into the prologue of this tremendous, powerful book of Acts, Luke, the beloved physician that also wrote the gospel that bears his name, explains what Jesus did. "And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs." The liberals love to chip at and pick at the inspiration of the Scripture. They love to advance theories contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. But the Word of God is inspired, it's inerrant, rightly divided. It is the absolute perfect Word of the living God. And Jesus is the one that explained through infallible proofs things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then we have read recently on our broadcast the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. "When they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus was about to ascend back into the heavens, and the disciples were excited for the kingdom to be established. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come," and that prayer was answered. There'll be the perfected kingdom, of course, at the return of Jesus, but the kingdom is here, and people that are Christians that are born again are born into that kingdom. And Jesus said to them, when they said, "Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father hath put within his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so Jesus predicted and prophesied and explained concerning the kingdom. The next reference to kingdom in Acts is Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Those of you that are Bible scholars recall how that immediately in the book of Acts, when someone believed the gospel and desired salvation, they were baptized, immersed on the spot, even if it was midnight. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the jailer was baptized at midnight. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 8 that Lydia was baptized immediately. All of these references to baptism in the book of Acts took place immediately. There was no delay. There wasn't a wait for the approval of the church. There wasn't a wait for the approval of the deacon. There wasn't a wait for the approval of the diocese or the president or the pope or the bishop or the cardinal. Immediately, when someone believed in Bible days according to the conversions in the book of Acts, they immediately were baptized for the remission of sins. Someone says, "How do you know that they were baptized for the remission of sins?" In Acts chapter 2, when the people cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And so, when they believed Philip preaching here in Acts 8:12, the things concerning the kingdom of God, they were baptized. How were they baptized? Like they were baptized on the day of Pentecost, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Bible days, they didn't baptize infants, and so that rules out infant baptism. In Bible days, they didn't baptize people after they were saved, so that rules out baptism as an outward working of an inward grace. They were baptized as a part of the plan of salvation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He said about the same thing in John 3:5. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This conversion here in the 8th chapter of Acts is very, very interesting. You remember, we're introduced to Philip, one of the 7 servants selected back in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts, along with Stephen and Nicanor and various others. They were filled with the Spirit of God, And not only did they do the job that was required of them there in the local church, they were on fire for the Lord and they went out preaching and sharing the message. The Bible teaches that the Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to go to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, obeyed the Lord, and went. And as Philip the preacher was there, he saw a man riding in a chariot. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join yourself to this chariot." And when he went, he heard the man reading about a mysterious situation. He read from Isaiah 53 something about a lamb to the slaughter. And the eunuch said to the preacher, "Who's the prophet speaking about here?" And the Bible says Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he said, "If you believe, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." They commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water. Bible scholars, the Bible is its own best commentator. They both went down into the water. That's not signaling sprinkling or effusion or pouring for baptism. That's immersion. John was baptizing at Enam near Salem, for there was much water there. John 3 and verse 23. And they went down into the water here. They came up out of the water, and it's interesting what happened here in this powerful, exciting account of conversion. First of all, we have Philip being called to be one of the servants. Then there's a man that had been to Jerusalem worshiping, and he was heading back home to Ethiopia. He was high up as treasurer of Queen Candace of the Ethiopians. As he was going home, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet, reading about Jesus, but didn't understand it. And then Philip went and explained it to him, and the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. Have you noticed the very next thing that was said after it says he preached unto him Jesus? After it says he preached unto him Jesus, the very next statement from the Word of God is, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" My friends, Bible preaching today, or what's called Bible preaching, what's called preaching today, a sorry excuse for preaching in my estimation as we compare it to the Bible, but in modern day preaching, the result wouldn't be what we have here in the book of Acts. But if someone is truly a preacher of the truth, if someone is truly preaching the Word of God, when they preach Jesus to someone, if it's midnight or high noon, when they believe in Jesus, they'll be called upon to be baptized the same hour for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it's interesting to share with you in this study concerning the kingdom. You can be a part of the kingdom. We're dedicated on every broadcast to preaching salvation, and salvation is through Jesus, and he that believeth and is immersed, baptized, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so, turn your life over to Christ. Again, the churches of Christ salute you, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You can take the Bible only and be a Christian only. We're thankful to be preaching this week through Bible Voice, covering a large area of Western Europe, as well as broadcast outlets around the eastern part of the United States. We just say, may God bless these broadcasts to His glory, because we're committed to preaching His salvation on every broadcast. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank You for Jesus, for the gospel, for the plan of salvation, and help people to turn to the truth while there's time. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.